Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Our sermon text today is an excerpt from the gospel lesson appointed for Good Friday. I read to you from John 19, verses 28 through 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that it was now finished, said to fulfill the scriptures, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Thus far the text, I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Gracious God, this gift of the cross is before us again this year. Again on Good Friday, and we remember how you blessed us through your Son's atoning sacrifice. We just pray now that you open our eyes to receive this word fully in faith and to trust it. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, that we might believe. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, friends, Scripture causes us to be drawn close to our Lord. The incarnation, the account of the incarnation, reminds us that God's one and only Son was born into our flesh. The account of his baptism that he shared in our condition, the words that told us about his temptation by Satan, they remind us that he faced our temptation, and the miracles and the teaching that we read about so often in Scripture, they remind us that he wanted us to see God. But we still struggle. We still struggle to see him because of our humanness. Our humanness limits us with respect to time. All of the events that were recorded in Scripture happened some 2,000 years ago, so we're distanced from the actual historical events that transpired. Our language often reflects that distancing as well. We sing "Tell Me the Story of Jesus," for instance, or teach our children Bible stories. That leaves us to ask ourselves every now and again, did these things actually really happen? Well, most certainly they did, and Scripture is an eyewitness to those things, and yet Satan has a way of playing with us, manipulating our minds to question and to doubt. There's a problem of distance as well, namely that gulf between heaven and earth. Our Savior sits at the right hand of God. Can we grasp that? Our Savior is preparing a place for us even now. Can we fathom that? Unbelievers, they scoff. But we know this is our future, and we trust that even though we can't see through our own eyes, we come to believe it. Or every now and then again, we come to doubt it because of our fear. That's a problem of sin as well. The gulf between righteousness and brokenness, the gulf between his will and our will. Even though God's opened our eyes to the reality of Christ, our sinful nature restricts what it is that we see, restricts our view of how close he really is. But he is close. He is close. That short excerpt that you heard from St. John's account of the Passion bears that out. Let's listen to it again. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. A hyssop branch. That's a very, very short stick. If you took a yardstick and you grabbed it at about the 1 foot mark, or you took a meter stick and you grabbed it at about a third of the way up, and you extended it up like this, you would, with the end of the stick, you'd be touching our Lord on his face. That's how long a hyssop branch really is. when Jesus said, "I thirst," that's where his mouth would have been as a soldier reached up with that sponge filled with sour wine. Standing there at the foot of the cross, if you would have looked up and saw Jesus' face, you would have had to have looked down to see his feet. That's where he hung. You would have seen the blood very clearly from there. And in between the groans of agony, you would have heard your Savior gasping for breath. From where you stood at the foot of the cross, you could have looked up into his eyes as he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." You could have seen his face as he said, "I thirst." And you could have indeed seen him say, "It is finished." You know, the words that our Lord spoke, the "I thirst" and the "it is finished," were spoken to fulfill scripture. "I thirst" harkens back to Psalm 22:15. "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death." And Psalm 69:21, which says, "They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink." But there's also another tie here to scripture in John's proclamation of this good news. It goes right back to the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. There God instructs all of Israel, "You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood that's in the basin to the lintel and to the doorposts. And none of you shall go outside that door of his house until morning, the first Passover." John, with that word, with the words that he used, with that hyssop stick, he brings us right back to the day where all the people of Israel slaughtered their first lambs in preparation for that first Passover. Now, in remembrance of their release from captivity, Israel was just entering into the Passover. This was the eve of the Passover that Jesus was hung on the cross. And they were in the process of slaughtering their lambs yet again. That hyssop stick that raised that sponge soaked in bitter wine up to the lips of our Lord, that was an indication of the Passover yet to come, the final Passover. There are four cups of wine that are shared in the Seder meal during the celebration of the Passover. The Kiddush cup, that's the cup of sanctification, which is given right at the beginning of the celebration. The Haggadah cup, the cup of proclamation that the father, that's consumed just before the father or the head of the household stands up and recounts the Exodus event. Then there's the Barakah cup, the cup of blessing, which is consumed after the meal is finished. And finally, the Zebatoda cup, the cup of thanksgiving, which is given at the end or received at the end of the whole celebration. Then the Hallel would be sung, the psalms that were sung traditionally at the end, Psalm 113 through 18, through 118. If you take that into account and remember those cups being offered up, and you go back to the words of institution that we talked about in yesterday's sermon, you'll remember very clearly that Jesus instituted that meal during the celebration of the Passover. But which cup was it that he was talking about when he picked up that cup and blessed it and gave it to his disciples? Well, let's look at that in Luke. Luke writes, "And he said to them, 'I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I say to you that I shall never again eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." This would be the second cup, the Haggadah cup. The Kiddush cup was already offered as the evening started. So this was the second cup. Now he comes to the third cup. "And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup after supper and after they had eaten, saying, 'This is the cup which is poured out for you for the, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" That's all from Luke 22. In other words, the Holy Communion cup, Holy Communion itself would have been instituted with this third cup. That would have left the final cup to be consumed. "I thirst." In this final drinking, our Lord presides over the final Passover and is its sacrifice. We can go back into the Garden of Gethsemane. "Lord, take this cup from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." This final cup, this bitter cup of wine, was served up, and then our Lord could say, "It is finished." Upon drinking from that cup, our Lord fulfilled all of Scripture and became the one true offering that set us free from our captivity to sin and accomplished our salvation. He's very real. All of these events are very real. We're covered in his blood. We receive that blood every time we come to this chancel to consume the wine and the bread of Holy Communion. We receive him truly in, with, and under that gift of Holy Communion. Our key verse today reminds us that Christ is always with us. From 1 John 2:22, "He himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for those of the whole world." As always, you'll find that written in your interactive worship folders. You can keep that and reflect on it. I pray that the closeness of God comforts you in faith and especially drives out all doubt from your heart, that you trust that Jesus is indeed God and that he did indeed go to the cross for your salvation. I also pray that you look forward to this coming Sunday, where we will be together. We may be apart physically, but in Christ we're together. And I pray that we all know that we are in him. And we will celebrate his resurrection, regardless of where we might be. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to bow your heads in prayer. Gracious God, we're just so thankful that you make it possible for us to see your Son, not far away, not distanced from us by sin, but instead brought close to us by his own blood. I thank you that we can gather even though we're apart, because you have united us as saints in your kingdom. Bless us, dear God, and keep us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.